Shout for joy to the Lord. All the earth, worship the Lord with gladness and come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God and it's He who made us. We are His, we are His people. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever and His faithfulness continues through generations. In the Bible it says, for it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. I love this verse, especially since it's Father's Day. And I think it means you want to raise your children, son or daughter, to be following in God. And you want to be closer to God, and that's one way to do it. You want them to follow in God, follow in your steps of becoming closer to God. And that doesn't mean just children. I think you also should leave here and know that that means for everyone. Anyone you see, just bring them closer to God. Let them know who God is. Because some people don't know. They don't know about Him and how great He is. So, when you leave today, show people God. Show them the Word of God. And let them know that He's there for them every second of your life. And with that, it's a wonderful service. God bless. Thank all of y'all. Have a fun day.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ivy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Looks like we are under jet lag. I don't know what you are under. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back and join together worship service in this Sunday. God has been good to us, and God has been faithful in all the things that He's doing in our lives. So let us be thankful for one more day that God has given us to live in this world. Every day is a gift from God. Amen?
Amen.
So it is because of His grace that we are alive. And getting up in the morning and look out the window and see the sunlight is a blessing. A lot of people don't get that. Mm-hmm. We got that, and let us be thankful for that. God has been good to all of us. The announcements are listed in the second page. There's sort of the regular announcements. I don't want to go too much into that. Our food bank ministry continues. You can donate in cash or in kind. The books are available still for sale for $10, which will also benefit our mission work. Our third Thursday luncheon will be on Thursday, this Thursday at Golden Corral at 1 p.m. Join for a time of lunch and fellowship. The Association of Independent Methodist Church has their 60th annual conference, which we are part of it, is from June 19 through 21, this coming Friday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. My wife and I are planning to go, so those of you who want to go with us or can go, the address is, you can find more information at the website listed there, or we can talk about going together if anybody wants to go. For that Saturday at 10 o'clock, I will be ordained formally, transferring everything from the United Methodist Church to pretty much our own church. So that is a good news that we are praying for. So please pray for that event also happening at that conference. There is a ministry, that Forsyth Community Clinic. I don't know. We had them come here one time. And we had some yoga or exercise class that we did. They are coming back for another event called Stress and Anxiety Management, which I think it is a good thing to have. Yes. Everybody goes. Anybody without stress or anxiety here? I don't think everybody's.
I don't think I can handle
it. Right. So I think it is a good thing. It's a free event. They have experts coming, and they will give us some guidelines on how to handle our stress. and management, especially for older people. So please note that that's on July 12th in our fellowship hall from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So please join that. Admission is free. And they are doing a wonderful ministry or mission in this community. And they got some federal grant recently. If you saw the newspaper, they got a bus and several other things that they were able to buy. So let us support them. And also it is a good event to be in. And happy Father's Day to all. We'll have some special items in the service today for the fathers. I will go through that when we get to the order of service. Thank you for your continued and faithful support of the ministries of this church. By your gifts, presence, prayers, service, and witness, God has given us this place to be his witness, and let us use the opportunities that God has given us faithfully to serve this community and to share and spread the love of Christ to others. During our service time, as I mentioned, today is also Father's Day, but also it's a Trinity Sunday, that the world church at large celebrate the unity of God in three persons. It's something very unique, and sometimes we get confused, and sometimes we don't understand it. True, it is a mystery. God is a mystery to some too, but Trinity is God in three persons, one in three. Our relationship of children of God is like Jesus' relationship to his Father. When we talk about God the Father, God the Son, it is not a generational or genealogical relationship as we are used to. Because we are familiar with the generational relationship. I have my father and I have my son. My son becomes another father when he has children. That's the way we usually know what fathers and sons' relationship are. But God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, those relationship is different. God the Son is eternally God the Son. God the Father is eternally God the Father. And God the Holy Spirit is eternally God the Holy Spirit. It is not a generational relationship. It's a positional relationship, basically. So it is not that God does not have grandchildren. God has only children. We do have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So when we understand that mystery, when people come and knocking at the door, some of these people who, I don't want to name any denominations, but they always come and knock at the door and tell you that Jesus is, they tell you Jesus is God, but he is a creation of God. Jesus is not a creation of God. He is God himself. He is part of God the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let us be very firm and affirm our faith today. So Pastor Tim has added the Apostles' Creed during the service, which we affirm our faith. We affirm our faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So let us be very intentional when we read that prayer together to understand what Trinity means. So everybody got that?
Yes.
God is eternally God. God the Father is eternally God the Father. God the Son is eternally God the Son. And God the Holy Spirit is eternally God the Holy Spirit. They are in one substance, three persons. Okay? All right. It is still mystery to a lot of people, but that is what we believe. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements? No. If not, we'll continue worshiping God together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, 154. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 6. Please stand if you are able. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and
from the foe. Him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred cross we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for this beautiful time that you've given us to gather in your name here in this church and also online to worship you. As your children, we come before you, God the Father. Just like Jesus Christ, God the Son, we have a relationship with you personally as our Father, so that we can come to you and call you Father all the time of our lives. And thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to this world, who has revealed yourself and gave us the opportunity to share eternity with you. Grant that we may always hold firmly and joyfully to this faith, and living in praise of thy divine majesty, may finally be one in three, who are three persons in one God. We thank you again for revealing to us through your Son, God, Jesus Christ, that we may be eternally always with you ever and ever. We again thank you for this time that you have given us, Lord. Let your presence fill this place and let your Holy Spirit fill our hearts and empower us as we go from this place, Lord, so that we can be more powerful for you, your witnesses in the days to come. Thank you again for your presence in our midst. Touch each and every one of us here today according to our needs. May your name be lifted up and your people be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our greeting time now. If you're able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love.
And Jack led the singing for Sunday school. I've played that many times with his, him standing right by the piano. I can still hear him singing. Please stand and join us, page 199, Red Book.
as you remain standing, we will read the Apostles' Creed. Please turn to page 881 of the Blue Book. This is where we affirm our faith in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So please read as you also intentionally understand the meaning. So read after me. We will read together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So please be seated. So here is a special assignment for the ladies to honor the men for the Father's Day today. If you are one of the ladies in this congregation, please get up and come to the front. And bring your hymnals with you.
You have to come up here.
No, only if you are able. Only if you are able.
I know those two, but I know she's able.
Only if you are able. But if turn to page 710, Faith of Our Fathers. The women will be singing for the men to honor the Father's Day today. So let us hear that.
Thank you. Hey, it's the past, brother.
Thank you for the singing for the men today. Let's have a word of prayer for the fathers. Let us bow our heads for prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the fathers that you have placed in our lives. Our life in this world is about relationships, just like we have a relationship with our Creator. Bless all the fathers, those who have taken upon themselves the responsibility of parenting. Bless those who have lost a spouse to death or separation and those who are parenting their children alone. We lift up those fathers and grandfathers who are serving in the military and separated from their children. We pray for those fathers who have been absent in their children's lives for one reason or other. Pray for the fathers we honor and the fathers who struggle. Pray for the fathers in the name and the fathers in action, for mentors and guides and models by which we find our way into adulthood. Strengthen them all by your love, that they may become the loving, caring persons they call to be. We again thank you for being our Father, so that we can call you Abba Father, regardless of what situations we go through in our lives. Thank you for all the blessings you give us, Lord. Help us, Lord, always to be grateful, so that we can share that love and relationship to others in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll do our prayer time now. The prayer requests are listed at the back of the bulletin if you want to turn with me to the back. God's promise is that when we unite in faith and pray together, God will answer our prayers. So as children of God, we have the privilege that God has given us to bring our petitions to God and also to intercede for others, also to pray for other people's needs. That's a privilege God has given us. If you look at the columns, the boxes there at the back of the bulletin, we have the regular prayer requests. Please use this as a regular item, prayer for these people and these items listed there regularly in your daily prayers. Pray for Jean McBrayer, Grace Haynes, Harry Bezor, Carol Clements, Thomas John, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, and Wayne Clements for healing and continued recovery for those who are healing at this time. And also remember the victims of the plane crash in India. And pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and those who are serving us behind the scenes, our grocery clerks, delivery people, trash workers, construction people, farmers, many, many, many others that are invisible in our eyes, but they are giving a lot of service to us that we enjoy every day. So let us be thankful for their services and remember them in our prayers. Pray for our nation, our president, vice president, leaders of the Congress, governors, and many others who make decisions that affect our lives, that we pray that God will give them the wisdom to do the right decisions, and they will fear God when they make decisions. And also pray for world leaders, that they will also fear God and bring peace and unity to this world, especially as we are facing many struggles around the world, including wars and many internal conflicts happening, that God will intervene and bring peace to this world through the world leaders. Let's pray for our church and all the churches in this community, the pastors, the ministers, missionaries, many, many others who work in the vineyard to spread the love of God to this world. Let us pray for them. And let us also pray for our church, that God will give us the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that we will walk faithfully, holding on to the truth that we have learned from the Scripture, which is our foundation, to hold on to the doctrine that God has given us, Scripture as our basis of foundation. And also pray for the world church at large and many people who are working in many difficult parts of the world, spreading the gospel. Let us pray for them also, that the Holy Spirit will empower them and strengthen them. Those are the prayer requests that I have to share. Anybody have any other praise items or prayer requests to add? If not, let us go to God in prayer, spend a few moments in silent prayer, and then we'll close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. the scripture tells us and teaches us that we should not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, bring your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We read that in Philippians chapter 4. God's promise is that he will answer our prayers according to his will and his time. So let us go to God in prayer. Merciful and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of life that you have given us, not because of our choice, but it was your choice that you gave us a life in this world. We thank you for that. Even with all the pains and sufferings that we see around us, we consider us to be fortunate to be called your children. Thank you for sending your son Jesus Christ to this world to live among us and suffered and died for us, for our sins, so that we can have eternity with you. We thank you for the blessings that you shower upon us every day. Even when we have been unfaithful, you have been faithful to us, and your faithfulness has been from everlasting to everlasting. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection, and we come to you with a heart of gratefulness at this time. We also come before you and bring before you our burdens and concerns, O God. Many of us are broken in many different ways, broken in our bodies, broken in our spirits and souls. We need healing. You are the great physician who can make us whole. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are lonely, you are our friend, O God. When we go through life's sorrows and grief, you give us comfort that no one else can give. You are the source of true healing as we bring our dear ones for healing into your hands. We pray for all those people that we have named here, especially Jean and Grace and Harry, Carol, Thomas and Sean and Amy Conway and Wayne and Jerry. We pray for your healing hand to touch them. Touch them and heal them, O God, according to your time and your grace. Above all, we pray for peace for them and for their families. We pray for the victims of the plane crash in India. A lot of people are suffering and a lot of people are grieving. We pray for your grace and peace to be with them. All the works that relief work that they are doing there, Lord, be with them and bless them. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and many, many others who serve us behind the scenes to make our life easy in this world. We thank you for their services. We pray for them and pray for their safety. We pray for our nation. We pray for our president, leaders of the Congress, and governors, and many others who make decisions. We pray that you will give them the fear of God in their hearts and give them the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, that they will be guided by the Holy Spirit when they make decisions, that will bring peace and unity and prosperity to this country and to be the leader of the world. We thank you again for your presence in our government also. We pray for our world leaders also, that they will also fear God, that they will make decisions that will bring peace to this world. We thank you again for this church and the opportunity that you gave us to be your witnesses in this community. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in the ministry that we do here, to serve others, to reach out and touch someone, to be a caring and compassionate presence for you, to share your love to others, Lord. Bless all the church in this community, all the pastors and the ministers and many, many others. And we pray for the world church at large and the missionaries and many others who work around the world for your kingdom. We pray for your spirit to empower them and strengthen them. We thank you again for your presence in our midst today, Lord, as we sing our praises and our meditation of the word and the prayers that we make. Bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. We again thank you for your presence. Bless us, Lord, as we go from this place. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory, please. Thank you.
please stand for the doxology.
Praise God, from whom our blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for every good gift that you give us. We pray that for this offering that we can give back a piece of that so that it can benefit your kingdom and you can bless those in it. We love you. Keep us ever mindful of the needs of others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If we can remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Isaiah 46, verses 1 through 4. Okay. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth, and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Well, before we dive into our study this morning on that short but very powerful text, I want to ask if you would join your hearts with me once more in prayer, and would you just take a moment in silence and ask God to speak to you. He knows your deepest need. He knows my deepest need this morning. Would you just lift up your voice to Him in silence and ask that God would speak to you. We pray, O Lord, that you would come by your Spirit now, and may your word be made alive to us. May it be delivered deep into our hearts so that our hearts may be changed and turned towards you. I express, O Lord, my dependence upon you, and I pray that your Spirit would come now and speak. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In this passage that Lisa just read, I don't know if you really caught the contrast that is in those four verses. But in those four verses, Isaiah is painting a picture which has this very dramatic distinction that is drawn between the gods of Babylon and the God of Israel. Now, in order to understand that contrast and the dramatic distinction that is there, it's important to understand what Isaiah is speaking into. If you remember your Old Testament history, and many of us don't, including myself, we have to brush up on our Old Testament history from time to time. There is so much of it, after all. But if you remember, the southern kingdom, Judah, had been warned for years and years by the prophets that if they did not turn to God, if they were not faithful to God, if they didn't forsake their idolatry, that Judah would be carried away into captivity, just like the northern kingdom had been carried away into captivity. Isaiah, in this prophecy through the Holy Spirit, is looking forward to that place of Babylonian captivity. He's looking into that and he is speaking to the people of Judah, he is telling them that they are going to be rescued from that captivity by their God, the God of Israel, the God who is very much alive, the God who always stays the same, the God who acts and speaks. In contrast, however, Isaiah draws this picture of the Babylonian gods. And I want to remind you of what Isaiah says in verse 1 here. He draws this portrait of the Babylonian gods. And he says, Bel bows down, Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and cattle. These things you carry are loaded as burdens on weary beasts. What Isaiah is describing here are the two main gods of Babylon. Bel was the highest god. Obviously, Babylonia was what we would call a polytheistic society. They believed in many gods. Bel was the highest god. And of course, Bel was an image that was made with human hands. Nebo was his son. And the people of Babylon looked to these idols, Bel and Nebo, for their security and for their comfort, for their safety. According to Old Testament scholars, in the days of Babylon's ascendancy, when it was the world power, every year in the Babylonian New Year, carts would be rolled down through the center of the city, and on those carts would be these idols, the idol of Bel and the idol of Nebo, and they would be carried through the main part of the central metropolis there in Babylon, and the citizens of Babylon would declare their faith in Bel and Nebo, and they would declare their trust in Bel and Nebo to give them prosperity and success for the coming year. Isaiah, through the Holy Spirit, is painting this portrait of Bel and Nebo, however, being marched through Babylon, not in victory, but going off into captivity. Because Isaiah foretells, and if I didn't want us to read the entire chapter this morning, but if you read the entire chapter toward the end, Isaiah speaks of another nation that will rise up, the nation of Persia under Cyrus, and Cyrus will come and invade Babylon, and he will take the Babylonians off into captivity, and guess who will go with them? Bel and Nebo. And what Isaiah is saying there in verse 1 is that the gods of Babylon, Bel stoops, he bows, Nebo is crouched over. And the image that Isaiah is painting here is a very sad and tragic image of what Babylon had put their faith in. That as Persia comes in under Cyrus, as he leads the Babylonians captive, which will eventually, of course, lead to Judah coming back home to Jerusalem, the Bel and Nebo are bowed over as they are tied upon oxen and cattle, and they are led out of Babylon. You see the picture there? And without that context, without that history, it's really kind of hard to understand what Isaiah is describing there, isn't it? But he is basically saying that the gods of Babylon have fallen down. Bel stoops. Nebo crouches. They become a burden for the beast who carry them away. Isn't that a tragic picture? That's a sad picture. I don't think it's meant to be a sarcastic picture. I think it's meant to be a tragic picture of the futility of worshiping idols. Amen. If we look back at what Isaiah is describing here, he is painting a picture of false gods as being powerless and ultimately a burden. They must be carried. They cannot stand up straight. They cannot defend Babylon. They cannot even defend themselves. I would like to submit to you that what Isaiah is speaking of here does not just apply to Babylon. That seems so far away, doesn't it? When's the last time you took out your buck pocket knife and took a piece of hickory and carved yourself an idol? When's the last time you've done that? When's the last time you've taken out the paint and painted a picture of something that you want to worship? Now, that kind of idolatry is not very popular in our modern technological world. But I would submit to you, dear friends, that idolatry is still very much alive.
Amen.
There's something about the human heart. Ecclesiastes, I'm sure you know this passage, 3:11, says that God has put eternity into man's hearts. And there's something within us. And really this explains idolatry. I had a dear friend at my former church who just passed away recently, a very godly man. He was in his 90s. And he and I had several conversations because he was a very well-read, learned man in the scriptures about the mystery of idolatry. How could people actually carve idols out of wood, or how could they fashion idols out of stone and worship them? There is a mystery in that, but I believe that the answer to that mystery is found in the depravity of the human heart. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, eternity is in our hearts. There is a longing in each of us. There is something deep down within us. So often it is covered up, so often it is camouflaged, but down in the human heart, there is somewhere a hunger for God, because we are created beings. And if we don't worship God, trust me, we will worship something.
Amen. Amen.
You remember the words of that great theologian, Bob Dylan, who sang, "You got to serve somebody."
Amen.
It might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And you are serving somebody right now. You are worshiping someone right now. And I submit to you in humility and love, as one who has taken part in his share of idolatry, not Baal and Nebo, but other idols. Listen, every idol will eventually bow down. And every idol will eventually become a burden. The thing that you worship, if it is not the triune God on this Trinity Sunday, if it is not the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I say this from experience. I say this as one who has wandered far. If you worship anything other than the living God, eventually you will find it will stoop and it will crouch and it will become a burden. And here's the main point. It will not be able to save you.
Amen. Amen.
John Calvin famously wrote, "The human heart is a perpetual idol factory." Calvin was so true in that regard. You see, idolatry is any substitute for God. It's the worship of anything other than God. Or it is, to put it in another way, it is the placing of ultimate faith in anything or anyone other than the living God. That is idolatry. Whether the idol is made by human hands or whether the idol comes from the imagination of our hearts. The Lord told his people in what we refer to as the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words in Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. And of course, we know in the Old Testament history, the images that were made were typically made out of wood and stone. But again, I submit to you, the images that we worship today can very easily, in fact, more easily, be made from the imaginations of our heart. So I ask you today, the spirit of Isaiah, who is your God and who do you worship? Mm-hmm. Who are you looking to save you? If it is anyone other than the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, your God will become a burden. He will eventually bow down. He will not be able to save you. In contrast, in verses 3 and 4, Isaiah paints this beautiful portrait, not of the God who falls, not of the God who becomes a burden to the beast, but of the God who is constant and the God who carries us. Look back at verses 3 and 4 here, and I want to submit to you, I want to give you a suggestion, okay? I used to listen to a preacher all the time. He says, I want to give you homework. And I just despised it when he said that. Every time he said, I want to give you homework, I cringe because I don't want any homework. I'm finished with school. So I'm not going to try to give you homework this morning, but I would love to encourage you to go back sometime this week, preferably today, read Isaiah chapter 46, 1 to 4, and I would strongly encourage you to commit verses 3 and 4 to memory. I have not done it yet, but I am working on it. I've been working on it this week to commit this passage to memory. Would you hear it? I think you'll agree with me. It would be a good one to memorize. It would be a good one to hide in your heart. Isaiah says, hearken to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from birth, carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. And to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. You see the contrast there? The dramatic difference in the gods of Babylon and the God of Israel. The gods of Babylon, they stoop, they bow, they become a burden, they cannot save. The God of Israel is the God who is constant and the God who carries us. Now let's look at this passage just for a moment. I'm going to go rather quickly here because I realize that the time is getting away from us pretty fast. But I want us to think about some of the promises that we find in verses 3 and 4. First of all, in this passage, we are reminded that the God of Israel is the God who is constant. He never changes. If you look back at verse 3, Isaiah says that even to your old age, I am he. And that little phrase there that Isaiah uses, when he says there in verse 4, you can see it right in the middle of your screen, even to gray hairs, I am he. What Isaiah is saying there, this is a phrase that is used in another part of Isaiah earlier. It's used in the psalm. It is a way of for God to say that he is constant. He is saying from your beginning, think about this, from your beginning to your very end, I am he, I am still the same. In fact, Alec Moyer, who's a very well-known scholar in the study of Isaiah, says that this word or this phrase here is a way that Isaiah expresses the changelessness of God. That from the very beginning of our lives to the very end of our lives, God is unchanging. He is always the same.
Amen.
Now, I know we've got a few people here that are not old this morning. We've got a wonderful, healthy example of youth here right behind me to my left. But listen, for the young people in the house, like my daughter and son-in-law, I'm so glad that they're here for Father's Day, by the way.
Amen.
Listen, this is not just for old people. What Isaiah is saying is from the beginning to whatever point you are in your life, God is the same.
Yes.
God is saying, I am He. Yes. I am constant from birth to death, from beginning to end. He is, and He is the same. What an anchor for our lives. To know that there is a constant, there is a North Star, there is something that is unchanging. Listen, we live in a world today that is so rapidly changing, is it not?
Amen.
I mean, the technology, the political structures, international order, everything around us almost is changing. But there is one who is in our midst today and who will be with us to the very end, who never changes.
Amen.
He is always constant. No matter where you are today, no matter what situation you find yourself in, God can say, I am still He. I am. He is the great, unchanging I am.
Amen. Amen.
Now that's especially relevant for those of us who meet the description in Isaiah's passage, who have the gray hairs.
All right.
There's a few of us here.
Well,
there's a few of us here this morning. I'm one of them. And I do think there is an especially blessed application for that, don't you? You know, one of the things that I've found is as I get further down the road, as I get, you know, well, I've had gray hair for a long time, but I get more wrinkles, more pains, you know, a little bit stiffer in the mornings.
All right.
We all know how that is.
Yeah.
Listen, it has occurred to me that aging, and I never thought about this. Ivy, you don't know this yet, but trust me, it's coming for you, man. It's coming for you.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Aging is a world of change.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Have y'all noticed that? I mean, technology. Yes. I used to be a computer programmer, Pastor, and I can't figure out my iPhone anymore.
All right.
I don't have to do anything on my iPhone anymore. Why? Is it because I'm getting dumber? Perhaps, but I think it's because the phone is getting smarter. And everything else around me is getting smarter. I had to go to training this week for my job in technology. And one of the lectures that we had to attend was on AI and the threats of AI. I mean, I came out of that thing petrified. I want to go back to 1970s, you know. Listen, growing old is a time of change.
Yes, it is.
But God does not change.
Amen.
No matter how much change accelerates, He is the same. And He says, even to your old age, to your gray hairs, I'm He. And I will carry you. You see, the God of the Babylonians were gods who were carried. But the God of Israel is a God who carries. And He can carry you today. He can withstand the weight of your anxiety, of your brokenness, of your past, of your failures, of your grief. There is no weight that He cannot bear. Okay, here's a teaser for your encouragement to memorize this verse. Look at 4 and do this very quickly. I just want us to look at the verbs here and then we'll close, okay? There's 4 phrases here, the very end in verse 4, that are so comforting. that can impart to you this morning strength and solace, can give you an anchor where you are this morning. Look what God says. There's four verbals: I have made, I will bear, I will carry, and I will save. Let's think about that first one just for a moment. Spend a little bit more on that one, and we'll rush through the others and conclude.
Don't take your time.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Lou. I appreciate you.
Take your time.
I have made. God reminds the children of Israel that he is their creator. Now, I love the fact that God is our creator. I think I told you about being raised on a farm in one of my illustrations, and I feel very blessed in that. I was raised with a dad. I can say this, today's Father's Day. I was raised with a father who taught me about the beauty of nature being the fingerprint of God. Mm-hmm. And my dad, he loved the outdoors. And one of my uncles told me, said, if I ever come see your dad, I just know I'm going to have to go outside because he's going to be outside. We had cows and a little farm and a pond, and my dad loved being outdoors. My dad was not the most formal person in church, but my dad taught me over and over and over again when I was growing up, you go outside, you look at the sunrise, you look at the sunset. Son, you gotta know that there's a God.
Amen.
That he is the creator. And I'm so glad that I have that kind of built into my DNA, that I look outside and I see the fingerprints of God. Let me tell you something, that is such a huge part, should be such a huge part of our theology, to know that we belong to the one who created everything. But listen, what Isaiah wants to remind us about this morning is not just that he created everything, he created us.
Mm-hmm.
The word that Isaiah uses here is the same word that's used in creation. In the Genesis account, it's the same word. Verb, he made the firmament. He made the two lights. He made the beast of the earth. And finally, he says, let us make man in our image. That's the same verb.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that Ivy begins our service each Sunday with Psalm 100 and that he's memorized that. And there is a beautiful line in Psalm 100. It is the Lord who made us. It's the same verb.
Yes,
listen,
yes.
Would you hear Isaiah's reminder this morning? God is not just only the creator of heaven and earth. Thank God, praise him that he is.
Yes.
He is your creator.
Yes, yes.
He made you.
Yes.
And he will bear you. He will carry you. And he will save. I love the verb that he uses there, that he says, I will bear you. And this is there's a real play on words here in Isaiah's prophecy, because the animals can hardly bear Bel and Nebo. In verse 1, he says that the cattle is weary because their backs are saddled with dead idols, lifeless idols. And they cannot hardly bear them. But the God of Israel says to his people, both then and today, that he can bear us. He can lift us up. Isn't that a beautiful thought?
Amen.
He can bear us. He can carry us. You need to be carried today? Do you need a strength that is completely outside of you today? That can bear you up, that can lift you up, that can sustain you for this day and the days ahead. The God of Israel promises that to you. If your faith is in his son, Jesus Christ, you belong to him. And he is promising that he will bear you. He will carry you no matter what you're facing. And finally, Isaiah says that the God of Israel, he has made us, he will bear us, he will carry us, and he will save. He will save. And only he can save. You know, ultimately, when God sent Cyrus into Babylon and eventually let the people of Judah go and return to home, he was rescuing them not just from the forces of Babylon, he was delivering them or saving them from a much more sinister force. He was saving them from the consequences of their sin. Because remember what had taken Judah to Babylon? Their own idolatry. Mm-hmm. The Babylonians were not the only ones who practiced idolatry. Even the people of Judah did, and that was in large part what God had warned them about over and over through the prophets, that if you do not put away your idols,
Amen.
If you worship false gods, I will take you into captivity. He took them into captivity to show them the kind of God that he was. It should have been an object lesson to those in Judah to see Baal bowed down, Nebo stooped over, that idols can save no one. And ultimately, what we need to be delivered from today and what we need to be saved from today is our sin, which separates us from God. In his Son, he has taken the cost and the judgment of that sin upon himself. And he comes to us today and calls us to hearken to him and return to him, because he is the only Savior. He is the only God who saves. But he does, and he will. If you're here today, listen, and you've never put your trust in Christ, or if you're listening on the internet today and you've never acknowledged that you need to be saved, not just from circumstances, you need to be saved from sin. I want to encourage you today to call upon Christ, to put your faith in the one who bore the cost of your sin and my sin on the cross. For he will save. And he promises that he can save us to the uttermost. I'll close with this. But I heard a long time ago, I heard a preacher on TV, a young preacher, a good preacher, really effective preacher, talking about what it means to be saved. And he was trying to come up with different ways to express this idea of faith or trust. And that's really what faith is. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Please hone in here just for a moment, okay? It's very important that you hear this. John Wesley, at the end of class meetings, when he was preaching to folks who had made professions of faith, he would very commonly look in the eyes of people and he would ask them, just to make sure, who are you trusting in today? Who is your faith in today? Listen, I ask you that question. The Holy Spirit asks you that question. Are you trusting in Christ alone to save you? Is he the object of your faith? Back to my illustration about the young preacher. In one of his characterizations of what faith is, what trust is, he said this. He said, faith is collapsing upon Christ. And I thought that was a beautiful description. It is putting all of our weight upon Christ, because he can bear us, he can hold us, he can carry us, he can carry the weight of our sin and our brokenness and our past, and he will save, and he will forgive, and he will cleanse as we put our weight upon him. Are you trusting in him today? Are you trusting in the God of Israel today, who came in his Son to save us? Are you trusting in the God who carries us? Let's pray. Father, I pray today that if there is anyone who hears these words, no matter the time or place, I pray, Lord, if they are not trusting in Christ alone, I pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would draw them into you and give them the words. There are no magic words, but just give them those words of simple faith to say, I turn to Jesus. I put my trust in him. I ask him to save me. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is constant, a never-changing God, and a God who carries us. No matter the weight we feel upon our shoulders today, Lord, may we collapse everything into your strong arms. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn today is hymn number 140. And a very appropriate hymn for us to sing. May it be an expression of your faith this morning. May you respond to the message in trust and in an affirmation that your faith is in the God who carries. Hymn number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Now, if you would remain standing for the benediction, may you go in the presence of the one who made you, who bears you up, who will carry you, and who saves. In his name, the name of the triune God, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you go in his peace. Amen.
Amen.